Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm going to feature an interview that Len Osanek of Black Op Radio did with me recently, as it ties in perfectly with last month's interview with Dr. Jacques Fresco, as well as this month's release of Zeitgeist 3, Moving Forward. Len Osanek is our friend and webmaster, and of course, our studio recording expert. He records and edits all of our SNU audio files, but Len is also a fantastic musician and independent researcher. After working with Colonel Fletcher Prouty for 8 years, Len decided to continue Fletcher's work and message by providing a focal point for important lectures and interviews. Black Op Radio provides weekly JFK research updates to keep the research community abreast of ongoing efforts around the world. So when you think of conspiracy, corruption, and great interviews, think Black Op Radio. Len works in his recording studio, Fiasco Brothers, and lives in Vancouver, Canada. He plays in a band called The Secret Team and Tourist Machine, and recorded an album with William Pepper called Songs of Peace and Violence in the Shadows of Drawn Swords. For more information about Len, please visit blackopradio.com or fiascobrothers.com. But for now, let's join the following Black Op Radio interview already in progress.
Hello, Corey.
Hi, Len. How are you?
Good. We've known each other. You've been in and out of the studio here over the years with your own endeavors. And I had you as a guest of Black Op Radio some time ago. I think we were talking about health issues and medical marijuana and a few of the things that were going on. But for those not familiar with that interview, why don't you give us a brief background of your endeavor in health and in fitness, and then we'll get on to some of the, you know, mutual things we enjoy, like the movie Zeitgeist and some outlooks on life and even just the idea of research and human development. So you were on last probably 5 years ago, I think. So what have you been doing since then?
Very busy working with the institute of which I direct, the Corey Hawley Institute. It's an online education institute. Now, I'm a naturopathic doctor and a professor of holistic nutrition. So I create education programs that are downloaded directly from the site. It's a distance learning institute. So we provide education programs that certify personal trainers and fitness professionals in the area of sports nutrition, anti-aging, health and fitness. And of course, as a consultant to people individually, I also work with many thousands of athletes and individuals with their personal health problems.
Now, you've got a website where all this is illuminated. Why don't you mention that?
Absolutely. CoreyHawley.com, CoreyHawley, CoreyHawley.com.
Right. Now, last year, you took your endeavor on the road for America. Why don't you give us a brief background of that?
Well, we've got three kids. They're adult children, and we're in our 50s. And so we decided that because our objective is to educate the world, and we love to travel, Tracy and I, my partner and wife, we love to travel, and that's our passion, and that's where we draw from to create our own paradigm of life and happiness. And so we love to meet people, and many, many of our students, we have thousands of them all over the world, of course, are in various countries. And so we decided to lease an RV and, first of all, go tour America and go to where our students are. And so over the course of a couple of years, we went to about 500 gyms and 1,300 health food stores in about 20 states, mostly on the U.S. western side. And we had an absolute fantastic experience.
Right. So what you did, you loaded up into Winnebago and you just started touring and traveling, and that intrigued me.
Yes, well, we had online access in the RV.
Right.
We had our laptops, and we just had a plug-in, and we were able to maintain and actually grow our business 100%. It's kind of like a dream come true. It's kind of like being able to manage what you love to do and travel at the same time. We love to work out, and we're totally into health food and dietary supplements and things like that. So, you know, we basically went to the people that are also like us and had a wonderful time.
Yeah. Now, I have to admit that that idea has really intrigued me, and I had contemplated, I mean, I'm planning something now, which we'll discuss in a bit, but I had thought, gee, I wonder if I took Black Op Radio on the road, if I got, you know, the big satellite dish on top of an RV and said, let's travel and go from city to city where there are researchers, where there are people of interest that maybe, you know, do an interview live and put the thing really on the map, but we'll get to that in a minute. You had a seminar, though, in Hawaii last year.
Well, when we came back to Vancouver after touring the 20 states, we were planning on continuing on with the RV tour and going to the eastern side because we still have about 30 states to go to, and we will. But while we were here, we decided instead to go to Hawaii, which we did, and we were there for about 8 months. We found a place to live, and this is the thing, too. We also terminated our relationship with all of our possessions and our home, and I mean literally everything. We're down to a suitcase each. Living free means that you have very little to manage and protect and insure. And we have discovered that because our business is online and we have income coming through, that as long as you have access to revenue, the sky is the limit. Now, not everyone can do this because you essentially need to create something that's online to do what we're doing. But we had a wonderful time in Hawaii. We lived in Honolulu. We surfed routinely. We met a lot of wonderful people. And we also had a camp, and we drew a lot of our students to our camp.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at, the camp you had. I have been talking about having a Black Op Radio conference next year, March. I haven't got the date exactly nailed down, but I think it's going to be revolving around spring break. And I've been trying to decide, in America, a lot of the states, the dates are different from spring break. They're March or April, and I might try to get a happy medium and say this is when I think that most people who would want to travel to somewhere like Hawaii, which we both love, we admire the environment there and just the whole aloha. Tell me a little bit about that Hawaiian spirit.
Well, it's really remarkable. Now, I have a long history with Hawaii. I went there in 1982, and my daughter Daisy, we had a home birth on the island of Maui in a little cottage. And I love Hawaii. Yeah. It is a U.S. state. It was annexed about 50 years ago, but it's different from all of the other states. And after being on tour and meeting thousands of Americans in America on their soil and asking them questions about their history and how the place was colonized and what they think about what's going on. Mm-hmm. When you go to Hawaii, you'll find that somehow it's not like the United States. It's only like the United States on paper, but there's something unique about it. It's very magical. It's very corny. There's a lot of people there that are looking for a good time. It's in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, and it's further away than any other place in the entire world. It's really a couple of volcanoes just sticking out of the ocean.
Yeah.
And the people that originally were there have been able to maintain this wonderful aloha spirit. And aloha means hello, goodbye. It means much love. It means that I'm concerned about you. It means that I'm not going to hurt you. It sort of incorporates a certain amount of harmlessness in the saying, in the concept. Because originally when the sailors came to Hawaii, they were met and embraced by the people there who were not violent towards them and asked them to come in and open up their homes and share their food.
Right. Aloha. Yeah. A lot in one word. Really, if you haven't been there, that's one reason to go. But if you have, people know what we're talking about here, that if you're going for a holiday, it's just wonderful. And the idea of you having your conference there where people are, they get off the plane, you're already in, you know, you can smell it in the air. It's like a paradise. It's really beautiful. And that's the kind of thing I was thinking of when I thought, let's have my seminar, which is on political research, but have it at some place where it's so happy and enjoyable. You're on holiday, and then in the evenings there's lectures and there's things, and your lectures being more of a physical area where all day long and things like that, where you took people out, you did stuff. But, well, that kind of brings us up to date, I think. And so people can find more information about you at CoreyHawley.com. What I enjoy talking to you about, though, is a lot of other things that we share interest in just the philosophical type areas is, first of all, the movie Zeitgeist, I think, really affected us both that, you know, we said, wow, this is really something of interest. And I know you've done a lot more reading about that. And I've had Peter Joseph on a couple of times, but you really start to boil down to the kind of environment that we're living in, and you mentioned earlier that you were surprised that you stripped everything down, all your belongings, down to a suitcase, and as long as you thought, well, I can earn some kind of living, and if it's from using your mind or, you know, whatever, I can be happy without this conglomeration of all the things I'm junk and stuff you keep. And there's a show called Hoarders on TV, and it's just amazing what people want to grab. I've got to keep this, right? And how far can you strip down and still find an inner happiness and peace?
Well, one of the videos done by Peter Joseph, it's called Social Pathology, and he uses physical disease as an analogy and compares the diagnosis and prognosis and treatment of disease to his paradigm of thinking. And when he gets through the initial presentation, he starts with this thing, which I agree with, that is so true, and that is everyone that is alive on this planet everywhere has something in common. Essentially, they all want to live, and they all want to be well. Nobody in their right mind wants to intentionally invite disease, have a cardiac event, willingly invite disease into their body and say, yeah, this is exactly what I want to experience. People want to live and they want to be well. Peter is kind of looking at life on the planet and trying to explain why it is the way that it is. He is trying to say or suggest that if we actually redesigned our economy and our structure and our thinking, that's how we would facilitate change. And that is also very similar to what I have to do with individuals who are not well. Yeah. I promote a health-centered consciousness where, first and foremost, you focus on yourself and your own wellness. I think that selflessness is a myth. Everybody acts on impulses that come from inside. Even when you do something good or nice for somebody else, you're doing it for your own personal self-satisfaction. So it makes a lot of sense, according to science, to generate an environment that is not hostile towards yourself. Now, it all starts with the inner man, the person inside. There is a vast amount of commonality between what I do as a naturopath and what Peter Joseph is trying to bring to mind through Zeitgeist. We have a problem. Okay, let's all agree, we have a problem. And so why is it in such disarray? Why is your physical body so sick? You could also ask that question. Well, it's because you're denying certain principles. You're actually sabotaging yourself. You're eating incorrectly, you're thinking incorrectly, and you're living incorrectly. So in order to bring order back to the chaos, and disease is chaos. Order is wellness and health, total health. That means you are in balance. That means you are thinking right. That means you are living right. And you are doing everything that is required to sustain the human body and keep it well. Now, sustainability is an incredibly important word, because our relationships with people, our relationships with where we work, our relationships with our environment, our relationships with everything, the question that you have to ask, that I ask myself, is it sustainable? Can I continue doing what I am doing and continue to be well? And maybe the reason that I'm not well is because my life and my actions and my habits are not truly sustainable, as is also true with the Zeitgeist model. As a consequence of embracing logic and science and basing everything on evidence, and I'm very much involved in functional medicine, which is based on evidence, the reason that you take vitamins or train and go to the gym or eat a certain way is because there's evidence to support that process. Otherwise, you don't do it. There has to be some kind of evidence. And it has to lead to a positive outcome. That's what functional medicine is. We take an objective view or analyze the situation. We see that it's possible to live better. And then we compare the structure, the function, the stratification, if you like. That's another word that Peter uses quite a bit, the stratification. There's a lot of key words that he uses in the Zeitgeist paradigm that are also exactly the same and true to what we do in naturopathic medicine. We don't just treat the disease. What we do is we focus on the patient. We treat the patient. We focus on the patient. And we motivate, we inspire people, and we give them something that they can work towards that's better. For example, I would encourage people no matter what position they're in right now when it comes to their health, that if they're not well, if they're experiencing chronic eczema, if they've got digestive problems, if they're constipated, if they're going blind, if they're losing their hair, whatever it is, if it is a consequence of abuse, then that same driving factor that's driving people to do that to themselves is also what is at work on the planet on a planetary scale. From my point of view, the way that we resolve this problem with the planet and evolve to a state of self-actualization where we're living in harmony is that we have to start with self. We have to make ourselves individually well. Right now, we have to start doing that right now. When someone comes to me and says, Corey, I want to be lean, I want to be fit, I want to be healthy, I'm sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, what do I do? Well, there are very specific steps that they have to take. And very much like the 12 steps in Alcoholics Anonymous, you have to come to terms with the fact that you're an alcoholic and that it's you that's abusing yourself. And you can't become a victim. You can't blame society or mommy and daddy or your lack of money or whatever. You've got so much right now with who and what you are, and this is all about self-mastery. It's about evolution of the mind and thinking and thought. I love Zeitgeist, and I'm very much agreeable to everything that's being presented because it's a model of the individual, and then you take the individual and multiply that by 6 billion, and if every single human being on the planet put their arms down and brought war to an end with themselves individually, because the people that are outside right now fighting wars are at war with themselves. The violence that they're generating on the outside is coming from the inside. And there's a reason for that. Why is it that people potentially do themselves in? What's going on inside of them? And I think it's because they've bought into the lie. They've been lied to their whole life. I like George Carlin's analogy. Everything is bullshit.
In case anybody hasn't done it, I strongly urge that you watch the movie Zeitgeist movie and part two, The Addendum. But you know, there's a lot of good with what you're saying about supporting the self first and then suggesting what other people should be doing. And I think it's like that in a lot of endeavors, just when we're talking, you know, philosophically about our society, like we're always told we're living in the best place it could be. With America, they always say we're the best country in the world. I mean, I don't always think that. I often wondered what Australia would be like to live in, or Sweden, or some of. I don't think that just one place has got it nailed down as the best place.
Well, anyone that says that has never traveled. Right. I've been to Baghdad, and yeah. I was there in 1982, and it was beautiful, and I met some wonderful, friendly people, and I traveled all through the Middle East. Now, if there was a world war going on right now here in the United States, on our soil, it would not be a pleasant environment to be in. It's only because we live in a bubble. Now, obviously, and I've been through Lebanon, and I've seen the destruction of war, and I've been through South America, and I've traveled all over the world. So anyone that says that where they live is the best simply hasn't been out there, because I can show you places on this planet that would blow wherever you live right now away. They're peaceful, they're calm, they're semi-tropical, there's an abundance of food. People live in peace and harmony. Now, that doesn't mean that they've always lived like that, and that doesn't mean that they're always going to live like that. There's no evidence that any society in the history of our existence has ever lived in perpetual harmony. Yeah. There's always something that goes wrong. Now, if you lived in the jungle and there was no humans around, you would be attacked by animals. You'd be consumed. And then you've got the forces of nature. You've got oxidation, you've got radiation, you've got gravity, and you've got entropy. And all of these are going to tear you apart. And they will lead to your eventual vaporization, your disappearance, which we call death, which I know as change. So I think that what makes people afraid is their own personal fear of death. And what I think is that people have never come to terms with what is the most reliable and predictable and inevitable event of their lives. And you can see it in people when they lose somebody. Now, I can tell you that nobody has anybody else. We don't even have our own life. I just witnessed and saw somebody very close to me die in their bed, taking their last breath. A young person, 49 years old, who had a cardiac event. He struggled to stay alive, but even he fail to hold on to his own life, proving to me once again that my own life is not even my own. For example, you live inside this physical body.
Yeah, and, okay? And I see the world.
But you don't really know what you are. Are you a spirit? Are you a soul? Are you a thing that's floating around inside? You really don't know what it is. There's a million people on the planet that will tell you exactly what they think it is, but none of them really knows what it is. Yeah. Is it just pure electricity? Like when you die, again, my concept of death is not the same as the world's. It's just change, and change is inevitable. Change is the only constant. So everything lives and dies on the planet, plant and animal. Even planets live and die.
Right, yeah, and so the saying is dust to dust.
Yes, yeah. But even beyond the dust, because beyond the dust means that you and I are somehow sentient and conscious of ourselves, and the question is that when we so-called die, will we continue on? We have absolutely no evidence. It's all conjecture. It's all speculation. I see that there is a valid approach to living, and it's based on pure science, and I call it the science of living well. If I train on a regular basis, and when I say train, I mean go to the gym and get fit, lift weights, build muscle, run and swim and facilitate a strong VO2 max and so that my cells are well oxygenated. If I nourish those cells, and I'm made up of 100 trillion cells, mm-hmm. and they form systems, and they certainly work in harmony together when everything is hunky-dory. Now, what happens is that when there is disharmony, there is dis-ease. That is something that I have some control over. So when I say that we really don't own ourselves, I'm going to refer to myself right now. I'm aware of myself, and I live inside this body, and I'm the only one that can read my mind. As far as I know, there's nobody else inside of me except me. So I'm seared off from the entire universe. Nobody knows what I'm thinking. They might think they know what I'm thinking, but ultimately it's my own secret treasure, my own thoughts.
Okay, right.
Okay, so I'm all alone. I was born alone, and if you see anybody die, you don't die with them. They die alone. They're all by themselves, and they don't know what's going to happen to them on the edge of their own death. They really don't know. And it's most likely that nothing happens. They just simply vaporize, and they cease to exist. And that's it. And that is something that I can embrace and accept wholeheartedly, knowing that I really don't know. But here we are. I exist.
Yeah.
And my existence exists. So what is the best approach to living right now? It's a peaceful one. It has to do with evolving within myself to a self-actualized state where I have control of my emotions, where I can withstand stress, where I can rise above what seems to create chaos and disorder in everyone else. And one of the biggest ones is fear, fear of the unknown, fear of death, fear of my own possibilities or capacity, the fear of failure, the fear of rejection. So ultimately, what I teach people and coach people and practice myself is a kind of a self-love. The reason that I focus on myself is because I like myself. I am who I am. That's who I am. You ask me who I am,
yeah.
I'm going to tell you I am who I am. That's who I am. I'm unique, and there's no one else like me.
It sounds like Popeye to me.
Absolutely. Popeye was my hero when I was growing up.
Oh, really?
And now I know why. Because he knew who he was. I am unique. There's no one else like me. There never has been, and there never will be. I'm absolutely precious. I'm magnificent, and I'm wonderful, and all I want to do is live. If all I want to do is live and enjoy the environment while I'm alive, the human lifespan is 120 years. Life expectancy is about 78, and it's diminishing in the United States and in all the civilized world. It's decreasing, not increasing. That is a failure associated with how we're living. People are destroying themselves with the worst diet in the world. It could be the best diet in the world. The original diet was genetically compatible with who and what we are. And the problem right now is that we're living, and the way that we live is incompatible with health. It is compatible with profit. It is compatible with scarcity. It is compatible with everything that's been conjured up to take advantage of us.
Yeah.
And so we have to take a step back and say to ourselves, I want to live. And I'm watching everyone die around me, dying prematurely, getting sick prematurely. Obesity. There's a billion people on the planet that are obese. And if we went back in time 40 years, there'd be less than 10 million that would be obese. So obviously we're heading in the wrong direction. We're depleting all our resources, and we live in an abundant world with unlimited resources because we have the capacity to sustain ourselves in an infinite way if we work in harmony with the collective called humanity, and also if we individually fall in love with ourselves and understand the premise of our existence.
Yeah. You're complaining about our lifestyle with having fast food that is actually detrimental. I remember a friend of yours, Dr. Colgan, said that our food supply has been totally, you know, taken over. And it's just the way he was talking about it, it seemed extreme. But as the more I thought about it, I thought, yeah, like we're getting, you know, cardboard served up to taste good.
Well, you can take any animal species and feed them what humans consume and destroy them in a very short period of time. You can create any disease. And in fact, it's against the law to feed zoo animals what humans consume. Now, that should tell us right away how far off the mark we are. But in reality, there is a science that zookeepers and zoologists and biologists follow when it comes to feeding animals. It's based on a scientific paradigm, which is the kind of life that I see. Now, in my world, there is no leadership. There's no governments. And I love the concept of there being no money. The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. But I think it goes even deeper than that. I think that it is contrived, that it is invented, that it has no basis in reality. One of the things that I'm convinced is that a true leader, a great leader, would never run for office. Anyone that runs for the office of leadership is a fake and a fraud. The really good ones, like in The Gladiator, which depicted a soldier who was made of steel and integrity and heart. All he wanted to do was go home and be with his family. But Caesar offered him Caesarship, and he denied it. Why? Because he knew that it was a freak show. He knew that it would be nothing but politics and chaos, and it would destroy himself. Any good man doesn't want to try and save the world because he knows it's impossible, and he also understands that it takes everything that one man has to actually save himself. The other thing about a leader is that a true leader leads his soldiers into war. He doesn't push buttons and talk on phones and then tell his soldiers to go die in war. He leads them into battle. So any man who calls himself a leader of a nation who does not lead his soldiers into battle is a fake and a fraud. And anyone that runs for office is a fake and a fraud. So that is why I don't vote. And the other reason I don't vote is because I've never run for the president of the world. And until I personally run for it, which I never would do because I'm running for my own state. My own state is my own world, my own life. That's all that's really important to me initially. In a position of power and strength and health and wealth of mind and body, then I become a corporation of strength and I'm able to help people that need my help. But I cannot help anybody when I'm lying in a hospital bed, when I'm sick myself, when I've got no energy myself. I'm a liability. And it's possible to live disease-free. This is something that few people believe. But I believe wholeheartedly that based on the steps that you take and the actualization of the life that you live, that day by day you can create health and you get stronger and wiser and better if you do what's right. Instead of sabotaging yourself and destroying yourself and poking yourself in the eye with a fork every day or slamming your hand in the drawer yourself every day, because that is what people are doing to themselves. They're destroying themselves. And the objective in life is to stay away from harm and violence, because increasing violence in your life increases the risk of your own death and demise. And you've got 120 years to live if you max out on what we currently know in terms of a lifespan. But most people don't live that long. They die at 70 or 80 or possibly 90, especially with the newer generation. For the first time in modern history, our children being born today are going to die sooner than their parents, proving once again that the way that we're living is incorrect and incompatible with science. We should be seeing evidence of everyone improving. We shouldn't see increasing evidence of diabetes, stroke, vascular disease, all of these preventable diseases that are based entirely on how we live and then ultimately how we think. Because a woman is how she thinks, first and foremost. Thoughts are things. The reason that you do what you do in your life is because you believe the things that you're doing are acceptable. And once you stop believing in that and you see the science, you see, science rules. Science brings superstition to an end. If we look at our history, we can see how every individual originally that brought some changes in the paradigm of thinking, be it Copernicus or Einstein or Heisenberg or Semmelweis, you know, the guy that introduced the idea of washing your hands as a medical doctor. Now, if you go back in time, there were no microscopes. There were no telescopes. So we had no idea. It was easy to be taken advantage of. And today, even with the microscopes and the telescopes, people are being taken advantage of because they're not using their brains. They're not being responsible. They're not taking an account of themselves. See, one of the main principles in naturopathic teaching is that you are first and foremost accountable for everything that you do and say. Everything that you're experiencing is as a result of the choices that you've made. If you don't like where you work, then quit and do something else. And don't give me the bundle of excuses that you have been giving everybody for the last 50 years. It gets to the point where there's a threshold. The thing is, how much abuse can you take? How much abuse are you willing to live with until you finally let go of all the possessions, which you never had anyway, because every guy that I know that's died took nothing with him. We don't even have anything. That's why I like the Native Indian approach to life. The land owns us. Nobody owns anything. This whole idea with ownership and property rights, it's not real. It's a cover. It's a con. But we're seduced by marketing and propaganda and news and television. And we're sucking this stuff in, and it's contriving us into thinking thoughts that are negative. We go to the doctors. We take pills for anxiety. We can't figure out why we're thinking the way that we're thinking or feeling the way that we're feeling. And it's because we're not living well. We're not living within the guidelines that actually, if we embrace them, we can generate an outcome that is so wonderful. Imagine living disease-free. Imagine living free. Now, every person alive is designed by nature to be an entrepreneur, to be free-thinking, and to be free. You put a bug in a jar, and all it wants to do is get out. And many of us are living in cages that we ourselves created. We are the jailer. We've got the key to the lock, but we stay inside the jailhouse because we think that's where we're supposed to be and because we don't think that it's possible to get out. We have to create the solutions for our own problems ourselves. One of my mentors, Earl Nightingale, said that nobody goes into a room by themselves and shuts the door with a pen and actually takes the time to write out the problems in their life and create their own solutions. And he guarantees that if you do that, you will come up with a solution for your problem. If you just took the time. But you see, everybody's in a hurry. Haste makes waste. And there was a physician in the past that said that the reason that we're all sick is because we're all in such a hurry. It's called the hurry sickness. So we have to slow down. We have to step back. William James said that every man in his life is responsible to do this one thing. You stop. You take a step back and you analyze your life and what it is, and you analyze the existence of which you live in. It's all based on science. And then you make a decision about how you're going to live your life out. Were you born to serve the man? Is that your purpose? And this man in the sky that you think exists, have you ever met him? Has he ever appeared to you? How do you know that it's real? You don't. So come to terms with that. Just embrace the fact that you don't know and find comfort in your not knowing. That's where I am right now. I have wonderful comfort and ease in the fact that I do not know. But I do know that I exist, and I do know what it takes to be well, and wellness is where it's at. You do not draw any conclusion about reality unless there's some evidence to support it. That is something that we can all agree upon because we can measure it. And outside of that, I'm certainly not saying that you're not entitled to your view. We should be able to sit down and talk about anything. Yeah. But why do you have to get so riled up and want to kill me or kill your next door neighbor because they don't believe in the same God that you do? Why do you want to shoot them? And what is this about needing stuff? You know better than anyone else. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. The world can sustain everyone on it. It could sustain 100 billion people if we work together collectively with the potential that we have today, with the science that's within our grasp, the technology. It's incredible. It's just that it's misguided. It's in the wrong hands.
Right. So then you're talking about human greed into the equation, why people want more than others, an ability to get along and form a community where we all have a common goal. So those are bumps in the road problems.
You know, Lynn, all my life I love sport. I love playing sport because it exercises the mind and the body, and it's really healthy. And all parents love it when their kids get involved in sport. It's a very good thing to do. But I never wanted to win. I never wanted to win. All I wanted to do was play for fun. And I was raised with this teaching that how you play the game is more important than whether you win or lose. And I truly believe that. Now, in business, how I play the game of business, to me, is more important than whether I win or lose. But in the world and in government, it's all about winning. Everything is about winning. We can see what athletes will do when winning becomes second to nothing. They will lie, cheat, and steal, and even destroy themselves. They'll take steroids and growth hormone and smother themselves in so many drugs with the intention of winning. And ultimately, they have to pay the greatest price, which is their own demise and death. If you knew from the very beginning that the end of your life is the end of everything, that nothing continues beyond that, it is illogical to live a life of violence and shame and deceit, because what that does is it robs you from the virtue of living. Imagine a life where you're a peaceful individual. Now, I've never wanted to fight with anybody ever. And what ruined sport for me was when the cheaters and the dirty players jabbed me with their sticks or kicked me, and they ruined the game. I didn't want to play with them anymore. I didn't want to play the sport. So I'd rather go off and do something myself. I'd rather play basketball and shoot the hoops by myself than in a game where you've got misery and cheating and harm and violence and injury. That's something I'm not attracted to. So I always used to think to myself, what is it about these other people? What's motivating them to hurt other people, to win? I really believe that it has to do with their own insufficiencies, with their own state. They are afraid. They are motivated to achieve things which the world recognizes as having value, but in essence has none at all.
There's a lot of similarities in what you're talking about, health of a single person and health of a nation, health of a community.
Well, it's like the cells of the body. You're only as healthy as an individual cell. So when the cell becomes so corrupted and damaged, it begins to lose its potential to stay well. And so if you think of your cells making up tissues and glands and organs and an entire system and systems that are all connected, that's exactly the same, and which is true with humanity.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're all dependent on each other, as everything else is, in terms of balance and having order and a calmness, a serenity of life, which generally most people would prefer. Would you prefer to send your children to war and have them shipped back in boxes? Or would you rather live in a peaceful time where there's no war?
Right.
And the thing is, and I've asked myself, would you, going back in time, come to the new America from England or France with a gun in your hand and start shooting Indians and put your stake in the ground and say, this is my land, this is our land, and it belongs to us, and we're going to take it and we're going to kill you for it? Or would you be like Daniel Boone, who was friend to the Indians and said, you know what, this isn't my land, it's nobody's land, but there's plenty of land for all of us to share. I'm going to build a house from the trees, and I'm going to forge out my own living, and I'm going to be a good neighbor, and I'm going to work with my friends, because we're humans. We have something in common. It's called life. And why shorten it? Why increase the damage? Why increase the suffering? If life is all there is and that's all you get a small little portion, it's a vapor of gas, then what is the point of increasing your misery? It doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah.
It's completely illogical. But the paradigm is that it's logic that we have to turn to, science and positive emotions. We learn to harness positive emotions.
Yeah.
We follow the logic of life. It keeps everyone well individually. And then when everyone else is doing that, we're all happy and working harmoniously. because we know that it's better for us and our family if everyone else is well too.
Yeah.
That's the highest good.
Yeah.
When you're serving yourself, and in the process of serving yourself and finding satisfaction, you are also making the lives of others better at the same time. So that's what perpetuates the motion. That's what keeps you motivated. It all comes back to self, and it starts with self.
Yeah, I knew I just wanted to have you on to talk about some things. I know every time we go out for a beer or coffee or whatever, we end up, I think, talking deeper than most people. They're just like, how about that hockey game or something? No, we kind of, at least with me, I feel that you're a little more in tune with trying to decide, where do we come from? Where are we going? What is important? You know, if nothing's important, then just do anything. Or, like you said, the only way, I think, through scientific method, we'll continue to improve our understanding of where we should be, and that's the question, and it might be one of those things that can never be answered.
You have to find meaning in life yourself. A meaningful life is a life that you live with meaning. Mm-hmm. What is your purpose? This is the first step that I encourage people to consider. Number one, what is your purpose of life? Have you actually written this stuff out?
Yeah.
You exist or not? Do you exist? If you agree that you exist, what is your purpose for living? And mine is, number one, to survive. Number two, to procreate. Number three, to pursue excellence. Number four, to have fun. And number five, to serve others, because ultimately that creates massive self-satisfaction in me. When I do good to others, it makes me so happy. But in the meantime, I'm doing everything that I need to do, that I'm responsible to do, to stay alive and to stay well. That is my responsibility. Number two is, you have to make a decision. Once you're clear about what you want to do, you have to have massive clarity, ferocity of intention and clarity of thought. Find out how to go about doing what you want to do. Have you made the decision to create an empire or travel around the world or to be an entrepreneur? Whatever it is you want to do in your life that you've made a decision to do. No one else can decide this for you. You have to decide it because you're unique. You're a biological snowflake. No one is like you. Only you can decide what you need to do. So you find out how to get what you want, to serve self. And ultimately, when self is well and whole, you are a massive contributor to the whole world. And then three is take action. Start doing it now.
Yeah.
It's so simple. It's a three-step plan. Be clear about what you want. Find out how to do what you want, and then take action. And eventually your whole life's going to change, and you're going to start becoming more well, more wholesome, less anxiety, less tension, less suffering. And you're going to be able to encounter stress without being burned up in the process, because a lot of people are so weak and feeble today because they've let themselves go. They're not fit. They're not fed well. And so they're weak. They're incredibly weak, and they become susceptible to disease and weakness and fragility. They're fragile before their time. It's possible to live like to 100 years of age and be very strong and fit. You have to accept this and believe this. But a lot of people don't believe that, so they just sort of fall into the loop by default. I don't believe that, and I'm experiencing that right now. In my early 50s, I'm lean, I'm fit, I'm strong. There's no disease. I have no evidence with analysis of biomarkers in my blood, hair analysis, urine, nothing. No evidence of any disease. I'm working at it. It's part of my lifestyle. It's a consciousness of thinking and thought. You focus on yourself. You reconstitute yourself. You regenerate your mind and your body. And science is the most legitimate and most reliable paradigm that I have ever come to terms with. I want to see evolution in a human being. Why isn't that we're not seeing men and women grow wiser with their age? Why are we seeing them getting weaker? Why are we seeing an increase in addiction? Why are we seeing our elders dying sooner than ever in the history, and they're being kept alive on medication and in hospitals? But that's not a real life. Why is that? There's something wrong with everything, and it all starts with who and what you are from the inside out. You create your own paradigm of life. Nobody knows the absolute truth, so each one of us individually is entitled to take a crack at it. But what I'm agreeable to, because Lincoln said that we're all free and we should be able to do anything that we want, provided that we don't interfere with our neighbor with violence. That's the exception. So there's no real, true, absolute freedom, because freedom means that anyone can do anything they want anytime. And you can't. Liberty is understanding the survival paradigm of your own family and yourself. The reason that you act in a certain way towards yourself and others is it because it increases your ability to survive. And that's what it's all about. Surviving and then taking it up to the next level and thriving in an economy of mind and body and spirit where there's some degree of happiness and there's less suffering. And people are working together in harmony because individually they're all focused on their own personal health and wellness, which is a full-time job.
Right. Right. To organize a community, you've got to feel good about yourself first and then show that you've got something to offer.
Well, I've lived on communes in India and everybody contributes, but everybody wants to contribute. We don't need to motivate each other in that type of environment because we're all there by choice. And everyone pulls their weight. But I also lived in a kibbutz in Israel. What I liked about that was that there was about 20 different activities on the kibbutz, and then you got a chance to try all of them. You know, there was gardening, and you worked in the laundromat, you worked with children, you worked with the fisheries. That was the one that I liked. So I really enjoyed that. So what they encourage everyone to do is find something that they enjoy doing. And I think that what causes inner decay, shame and disgust, and disease in most men is that they are working, doing something they hate. They can't stand the people they work with. They can't stand the job itself, or it's too mundane. It's too monotonous. Humans are not designed by nature to go anywhere at 9 o'clock in the morning and work till 5 o'clock, Monday through Friday. That is against everything that we understand biologically. Mm-hmm. We can't fit into a time clock for the benefit of a corporation in a clock. It goes against the grain. So this is why I love the internet, because it provides people with the opportunity to create their own income, to be enterprising and creative, and then they can actually be at home and work according to their own schedule, which is a much better way to live than driving an hour in the rush hour traffic to somewhere that you do not like, working for someone else and making them wealthy, getting paid next to nothing from it, and being abused in the process. It's a destructive way to live. Do we agree or not to live in peace?
Right.
And what does the science say? So we can only base our action on evidence. That's all we can go by. That's why evolution is more positive than religion, because it's based on a continual production of evidence to try and bring about conclusions based on demonstrable evidence. See, it's all evidence-based, and this is functional medicine. Orthodox conventional medicine is not concerned about cause at all. They only treat symptoms. I'm talking about a way of thinking, a way of thought, where you have concern for yourself and your fellow man. And there's no need to fight. I mean, there's absolutely no science that validates the reason why we need to fight with each other. Humans do not need to fight with each other. We do not need to kill each other. It's absolute insanity. I call it the insanity of humanity. And what propels it? What drives it? What pushes it? Well, it starts in your home. Just look at the actions of people in your home. What is making your mother or father a mean individual? Why are they mean? Why is there a bully in a school? What makes a bully a bully? That person has to be contained. And that's why we do need law, but we need righteous law. There's an old saying that when the king is righteous, the people rejoice. But when the king is corrupted, everyone in the land suffers. And right now what we've got is corrupt kings, corrupt leaders that have sold out for the man, sold out for money, sold out for prestige, sold out for materialism. And this is why every one of us has to come to terms with what we are willing to sell out for. Are you willing to sell your soul for temporary protection, to live in a bubble which is false? Because in the end, you're going to die. I'm sorry. You're going to die and you're going to lose everything that you think is valuable. So why not live with a different kind of richness in mind? Why not live by your heart? Why not pursue a life that is more suitable for everyone so that ultimately our families can live in peace? Because I don't want to see my children die in a war. And there doesn't need to be a war. It's absolutely insane. It's stupid. It's imbecilic. It's moronic. And anyone that involves themselves in armies and wars willfully, they need to have their head turned around and stripped from the inside out. Because what motivates someone to want to go into war and fight? I'm telling you, the violence is inside of them. They're mad. They're mad at the way they were raised. They're mad at the fact that they don't understand what's going on in the world, and they want to know, but nobody knows, and they can't find the answer. So the next best thing is to go out and kill people and stand up for something that really isn't real in the first place. So I say, take it all back home. Charity begins at home. Clean out your own house. Start with your own garbage. Take out your garbage. Start doing things that are meaningful and real for yourself personally. And then when you walk out into the world in a position of peace, with a mindfulness of peace, and you're solid and strong and fit and well and healthy, then you can withstand the stress from the outside world and help make it a better place. Anyway, that's how I see things. Emerson said that health is wealth, that real, outstanding, functional health is the greatest wealth of all. And ultimately, I know of many wealthy people that are laying on a hospital bed that would trade it all to be well again. Or mothers and fathers of children who died of leukemia that said, we would trade in our homes and houses and everything that we have if we could bring our child back. Yeah. You see, ultimately, when you see suffering in people, that becomes more important than stuff and the cars and the boats and the planes and the houses. What is it you're doing in your life and why? Have you examined yourself from the inside out? Is there a better way to live? Because the way that you live creates the outcome that you're experiencing. If you're not well, it's because you have a trail behind you that is creating that disease in your life. You have to stop, examine your life, and then choose a better path. Because ultimately, there is nothing more important to me than to be well. And having nothing to protect or insure or worry about losing is part of a new sense of wellness that I've discovered. Besides that, I've never been a materialist by nature anyway. I've never thought that owning a bunch of stuff was going to make my life better. In fact, it just makes it more complicated.
Well, that's where we differ. I'm a hoarder. I'm one of those people you see on TV. I've got stuff that I don't even know what it is, but I can't throw it out. I might need it one day.
Ultimately, I don't care if an individual is really into stuff, because the bed that you make is the bed that you have to sleep in. You have to live with what you create. Yeah. And that's none of my business unless it affects me directly. Right? But I don't condemn people for believing in the gods that they believe in. I don't condemn anybody for the life that they live, because I'm not living it. I just want to be left alone. I don't want people telling me how to live and how to think. And I am willing to provide people with the same grace. I will not invade your space, but please don't invade mine. But I have discovered by being alive for 53 years that that is not always true. I can walk in peace and stay out of everyone's way, but there's a hell of a lot of people that are going to try and get in my way on purpose and try and control my life and try and tell me how to live my life and try and tell me how to be and think. These are the challenges of life, and you have to be strong with yourself. You have to have a fantastic relationship with yourself established in order to stand up and be strong enough to
self-confidence.
Overcome. Yeah. Confidence, absolutely, in who and what you are.
Okay, well, I think that probably wraps it up. You know, we could go on for days, but I just wanted to have another conversation with you that you're in town and not always in town. So once again, CoreyHawley.com was where people can find more about you. Any final comments to wrap up?
Ultimately, we are who we are. Just accept and embrace who and what you are and start creating a scientific paradigm of life. Try and base everything that you do, think, and say with evidence in mind. Is there any evidence to support the conclusions that you've made about your life? And if you delve into health, if you really seek health out, you'll find it. And it's much better to live well than to live with disease.
Thanks so much, Corey Hawley.
Yeah, thank you, Len.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
represent his lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU, sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight. Malik with sports nutrition update. Prolong your life, live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHolly.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see ya changing heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.